read to you from Ecclesiastes, and it's going to be found in chapter 3. I'm going to read to you verses 1 through 15, but it's a somewhat familiar portion of Scripture, and I want to use it as kind of a launching pad for when change comes into our life, how do we navigate that? You're going to find out in just a moment here that change is always happening. You can't stop that. But I gotta just be transparent. I don't like change. I don't like it, unless it's you. If you're changing, I'm okay with that. I don't want to change. And sometimes I can get stuck. And the problem is life is always changing. So if you're here today and you're going through something in your life where change is happening, it could be anything from changing of a job, moving to a different location, loss of a loved one, a depression that sets in, whatever it is that's going on in your life, when change happens, you got to know, you can't stop it, but you've got to figure out, well, how do we navigate it? What does the Bible have to say? And Solomon was a very wise man in the Bible. Solomon had a lot to say about all of the goodness of life that it has to offer, but also about the grace of God. And let me read this to you. As I said, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says, to everything there is a season, time for every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what was planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Then it goes on in verse 9 and says, what profit has the worker from that in which he does? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the works that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the goodness of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him, that which has already been done. And what it is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past. What Solomon is telling us is simply this. No matter what happens in life, change is inevitable. It's going to happen, and we might not always like it. We might not always agree with it. As a matter of fact, we'll probably struggle with it. But the Bible has something to say about navigating these seasons of change. I don't know if you found this to be true, but here's the one thing that I know we all have in common. Change will happen to every one of us. Every one of us. Doesn't matter what background you came from. Doesn't matter what kind of home you were brought up in. Change will affect each and every one of us. We just grow. That's the natural process of life. But sometimes there's pain along the way. We grow. And as we grow, did you know that? And now this is according to scientists, but approximately 50 to 70 billion cells on your body will die today. It's a part of life because there's new ones that are growing, right? They say on average, again, this is on average, 150 hairs will fall out of your head, you know, within a short time frame. And I know some of you that are saying, I wish I had 150 hairs maybe, but on average, you know, they fall out. Life just seems to happen. You grow. Change happens. You know, when I was younger, when I was a kid, I was really skinny, okay? I know that doesn't look like it now. That's not the case, but I mean, you could see my ribs kind of skinny, you know what I mean? And people used to always say this. They'd say, you know what? Enjoy it while you can, because when you hit 25, it's going to change. Well, 25 came and went, and nothing changed. They said, well, you wait, 30's coming. 30 came and went. They said, well, 35's coming. It's going to get you, and 35 came and went. It didn't get me. They said, well, wait for 40, and nothing happened. But something happened at the age of 42. Bam, instant dad bod, right? It was like overnight, this little belly all of a sudden emerged, and I'm like, what is going on? Change is happening, and I didn't ask for this. It changed without my permission. And as silly as that illustration may be, There's times in life when change happens, and we feel like it didn't ask for our permission. There's always going to be change in our life. In fact, change is usually or should be a reminder that there's a progression in life that's going to happen. You know, we get older. My body, my physical body, cannot do what it did when I was 25. Okay? Now, I can still function. But my body's functioning now probably not like it's going to when I'm 75. Why? Because change will happen. Over the weekend, we did some moving. We were moving from one house to another, a lot of furniture, heavy lifting. And I'm sore today. I'm sore. My arms are kind of hurting and that. And it was so bad that when I went in today, I was getting ready to put my shirt on, but it needed to be ironed. So I got the ironing board out, got the iron out. And you know, the outlet's like halfway down the wall or whatever. And as I was going down to plug it in, I dropped the cord and I paused. Oh, that's way down there. And I had to decide, do I really have the energy to bend all the way down and pick that, you know, the shirt looks okay, doesn't it? You know, but no, so reluctantly I did the whole, oh, groaned and picked it up and plugged it in. My body is screaming at me saying, you ain't as young as you used to be. Things change. You know, as we get older, time just kind of marches on. This morning I was coming out of my office, and I was on a mission. And I rounded the corner, and I went into the kitchen, and I stood there. And there was some gentlemen that were sitting at a table. A lady was passing by, and they looked at me, and they said, do you need something? And I said, yes. And they said, what is it? And I said, I forgot. I was on a mission, but I forgot what my mission was. It was getting a bulletin, by the way, in case you needed to know that. But somehow I ended up in the kitchen. I always end up in the kitchen, which probably explains the belly, right? And that happens. You know, you start to forget things, and life happens. Our children, they grow up so fast. Time passes quickly. Things like accidents in life can change happy moments into sad moments. Just in the blink of an eye. A job situation can change rapidly with downsizing or restructuring. If COVID taught us anything, it's that change can happen like that. And if I were to add a beatitude to the Bible, which I cannot, but if I were, it would be, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Learning to be flexible is extremely important, but the reality is that sometimes we break. Sometimes we crack just a little bit, and we don't know what to do when that rushes in and change happens in our life. It changes to be a mirror that reflects and back to us and leads us. It reminds us that there's a progression in life or a growth that's happening and moving forward. So my point is simply this: change is inevitable. You can't stop that progression. You can go from laughter to sorrow, from joy to pain, from happiness to sadness. And when you are going through this challenge, the challenge that I believe God gives us is this: don't look down. Don't look down. What do you mean by that? Well, let me show you a little video clip of a movie maybe you've seen. Let's go ahead and take a look at that.
Sure, it's big enough, but look at the location.
Shrek.
Remember when you said that ogres have layers?
Oh, aye.
Well, I have a bit of a confession to make. Donkeys don't have layers. We wear our fear right out there on our sleeves.
Wait a second. Donkeys don't have sleeves.
You know what I mean.
Oh, you can't tell me you're afraid of heights.
No, I'm just a little uncomfortable about being on a rickety bridge over a boiling lake of lava.
Come on, donkey. I'm right here beside you, okay? For emotional support, we'll just tackle this thing together one little baby step at a time.
Really?
Really, really.
Okay. That makes me feel so much better.
Just keep moving. And don't look down.
Okay. Look down. Look down. Keep on moving. And don't look down. Don't look down. Keep on moving. And don't look down. Shrek! I'm looking down! Oh, God, I can't do this. Just let me off right now, please.
But you're already halfway.
Yeah, but I know that half is safe.
Okay, fine. I don't have time for this. You go back.
Shrek, no,
just
wait.
Donkey. Let's have a dance then, shall we? Hey. Donkey,
Don't do that!
Oh, I'm sorry. Do what? Oh, this?
Yes, that!
Yes?
Yes, do it. Okay.
No, Shrek! No!
You just said stop. Do it!
Stop it!
I'm doing
it! Oh, God, I'm gonna die! I'm gonna die! I'm gonna die! Shrek, I'm gonna die!
Oh!
That'll do, Donkey. That'll do.
You ever think you'd be watching Shrek in church? How many of you have ever felt like that, though? You're walking over this rickety season in your life, and it feels like everything's blowing up around you, and it seems like the foundation you're walking on's not very secure. What do you do? Well, the one thing you don't do is look down. You don't look to the left. You don't look to the right. So what are you supposed to do when you're going through seasons of experiencing a void in your life? You don't look down. The Bible tells us where to look. It says you fix your eyes on Jesus. Here's what it says in the Bible. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. Here it is, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Some translations say it this way, that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. If you're going through a season right now, whatever that season is, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't look down. Don't give up. You see, it's supposed to remind us, these seasons that we go through, that whether we're going from summer to fall or winter to spring, you know, the toughest moments when we're going through seasons is not when we're in the season, but it's when we're transitioning from one season to another. That's where it's difficult. That's where we find the most struggle. It's those transitions of going, for example, from, let's say, a hot summer to a cold winter. It's in the transition, like going from a great relationship to a broken one, or a fabulous life to a challenging one due to unexpected circumstances. So the question presented today is not, will change happen, but how will I respond to it when it does? How will I respond to it? So often our faith, it can falter at times, can it? It just kind of feels like it spirals a little bit until there's nothing left. But can I challenge you today that when that happens, that we run as fast as we can into the arms of our Savior. Run as fast as you can because His grace is sufficient. Amen? It's His grace that is sufficient in all things. Remember Paul in 2 Corinthians? Paul, it says in 2 Corinthians that he was going through a season. And the season he had was there was a thorn in his flesh. Do you remember that? It says there was a thorn that was given to him in his side. And the Bible says that it was an instance that it was a thorn that was given. It was allowed to take place in his life, lest he be exalted above measure. And it obviously bothered Paul, because it says that Paul went to Jesus three times. Three times he went to him and says, hey, can you remove this thorn? Hey, can you take away this pain? Hey, can you take away this sorrow or this sadness? And Jesus didn't answer and say, yeah, sure, I'll do that. No, this is how he answered. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Are you going through a season right now that you're struggling with? God's grace, and it's only His grace, that is sufficient for you. And He actually said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So if you're going today through a situation where you feel weak, know this, you're in the perfect place, because if you will lean into Him, then He will show Himself strong, because His grace is sufficient. Wherever and whatever you're going through right now, God knows, God cares. And even if it doesn't feel like it, His grace is sufficient. We're going to look at a little further at this book of Ecclesiastes, because the author of the book, he's one of the wisest and richest men on the earth at this time, King Solomon. And through his writings, he helps us to know the grace of God very well. He said in the first few verses that there is a season for everything, a season for every activity that's under the heaven. But then he ended it with saying, God made everything beautiful for its own time. When you go through seasons, that's when it can get shaky. That's when it can get challenging. You know, one of the things I did just for the fun of it was I took a meteorology course, okay? I didn't take a class. I'm not a meteorologist. I'm just a nerd who likes to learn stuff, okay? And so I did this little class, and it taught about low pressure and high pressure. And whenever you get, you know, going from one season to another, depending on whatever is happening in that environment will determine the outcome, because when low pressure meets high pressure, it creates a wind. And depending on what else is going on in that scenario, it's going to determine whether you have a tornado or a windstorm, or how many of you enjoyed a couple days ago the snow squall, right? Did that alarm go off on your phone too? I'm sitting at home and you get an alert and I thought, you know, good Lord, what do we got going on now? Snow squall. I had to get on the computer and Google, what is a snow squall? You know, and it's about the same thing as a blizzard or a whiteout. It just has some different conditions that apply to it. But you see, these storms, what happened was some low pressure, some high pressure, some other elements added to that, created this massive snow squall that just whited out a certain area in a short amount of time. I don't know if you saw in the news, but over in Illinois, on I think it was I-34, it whited it out so bad that there was a 100-car pileup. And you know, that's sad news, but let me tell you, when you're going through seasons and that storm is there, it brings this potential for destruction. And yet God says in the middle of that, my grace is sufficient, no matter what you're going through. So what Solomon is reminding us is that God has laid out this progression of seasons for us all. The main problem is, however, or at least let me word it this way. Here's the thing I struggle with the most, okay? When I'm going from one season to another, that in between is where it's very frustrating. And what I'm mainly frustrated about is I'm not in control. I'm not in control of that situation, and it bothers me, and I don't know what to do. And that's when he says, well, whatever you do, don't look down. Don't look to the world for the answers. Don't look to your friends for the answers. You can get wise counsel. That's good. But make sure you fix your eyes on Jesus. It's the only thing that's going to get you through the seasons in your life. So what I want to do is just give you some principles from the Word of God that can help us through these storms that we face. And it'll teach us how to build our faith every time we go through these seasons. Again, I don't know what your storm is. I don't know what you may be facing right now. You know, you may have financial issues, relational issues, depression, loss, whatever it is. You're struggling to find value in life or purpose or meaning or whatever that is. Whatever the storm is, the Bible gives us some instructions on what we can do when change comes. And the first one is this. Write this down. Change should be managed, not manipulated. It should be managed, not manipulated. So God loves us so much. Can we agree on that? Okay. If God loves us so much, he's not going to allow us to stay the same and remain where we're at. He doesn't want us to always stay the same. He doesn't want us to settle in a stagnant faith. But it's during these unchallenged moments, when we're not being challenged, there's a lack of depth. It feels like the meaning, there's no life to it because we're not being challenged. It's during these moments God wants us to take a whole different level, take us to a whole different level in our faith, a whole new experience. Maybe it's in a relationship or with each other, with family, with your job. Maybe it's your work ethic, whatever it is. And it might be painful at first or difficult, but it may just be God wanting to see growth in our life. He's saying maybe the challenge you're going through is the thing that's going to lead you to the prayer being answered that you've been praying. How do you not know that? But sometimes we have to go through these seasons. And what God asks us to do is, in those seasons when it's difficult, don't try to manipulate things so you can remain where you're at. Manage, steward, maybe that's a better word, steward well whatever you're going through, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the worries, all the joy, and let God, through his Holy Spirit, steward that. It may be difficult, but it may be just what God has for you. Here's what it says in Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14. Accept the way God does things, for who can straighten what he has made crooked? Enjoy prosperity while you can, but when hard times strike, realize both come from God. Both come from God. Now, when I first read that, sometimes I think, you mean God created pain in my life? No, no, no. He's saying, whenever you're going through seasons in life that are good, it's because of God. And when you're going through difficult seasons, God is still good in the midst of your difficult season, right? You got to look for him, though. Sometimes he's harder to find in those seasons of your life. So what Solomon is saying is when you're going through a season of difficulty, instead of saying, why, God, he says, start saying, what, God? How many of you, when you go through a situation, I've been guilty of this, I say, why, God? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to do it and they don't? Why? And Solomon says, instead of asking why, it's a good time to start saying, what, God? What is it that you want me to see? What is it that I need to learn? What is it that I need to know? God loves us so much that he wants to take us to new heights, but we got to change our vocabulary. Seth, my son, he had this phrase he would always say, and maybe kids still say it, but I'm going back to high school. But he'd go, wait, what? It's the word wait and the word what slammed together into one word, okay? So no matter what we did, we'd say, Seth, come on, we're getting ready to go. And he'd go, wait, what? Like he was not informed or something about what was going on. We could tell him what we were doing. 10 minutes later, he's going to forget it. And then we'll be saying, we're going, wait, what? You know, we didn't even have to tell him. We just say, Seth, it's time. We got to go. Wait, what? And he'd always be asking the question what he wanted that information. When you're going through a season in life, maybe you're going to have to say, God, what is it that I need to see? What is it that I need to know about this season that I'm going through? Because it's in those moments that we have a choice to make. We can choose to be obedient to God's plan, or we can be disobedient to God's plan. We can be a finely tuned engine that's running smoothly, or we can be a clanging cymbal that's off key. That's going to be the difference. Solomon was saying here that he's experienced it all. He's experienced all that life has had to offer, and he tried to manipulate things to get his happiness. He tried to get everything he could for himself, but towards the end of his life, though he had it all, he was never totally satisfied. So he says, be encouraged today to go with God. He says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and what? He will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. In other words, don't deny change in life. I know many of us fear change and we turn away from change because maybe we were taught change is bad, change isn't good, but instead we should think of change in these terms. When change comes into our life, it's like a classroom. And it's in this classroom that is the only place that we can learn something that God is trying to teach us. Now, when I was in school, I didn't go to school because I was so excited about education, okay? I didn't wake up in the morning and say, oh, I can't wait to go to school today. I can't wait to bundle up and stand in the corner to wait for that germ-infested tube to drive me to school and then get to school and be able to say, how blessed I am to have these teachers shower down and rain upon me with their wisdom and their knowledge, and I soaked it all in. I never did that, did you? Now, you probably might have liked school a little more than me, but I went to school for one reason alone. Well, two. One, I had to. But number two, I went because I wanted to socialize. I wanted to hang out with my friends. I wanted to goof off. And all of a sudden, I got into this routine of being kind of the class clown, and I liked to make people laugh. It was kind of my mission to make people laugh, but I would do it even at my own expense. And there came a point in my life where because of all the goofing off and all that stuff, it was reflecting in my grades, right? And so if you're not bringing home good grades, it means you're not doing much of the work behind the scenes. And there came a point in my life where change had to happen. And change happened when I decided to learn. My dad couldn't decide it for me. My mom couldn't decide it for me. The principal couldn't decide it for me. The teachers couldn't decide it for me. I had to want or be willing to invite this change into my life. And here's what I learned. I learned from not just the good, but I also learned from the bad and also the ugly. It's easy to learn the good, right? You know, when things are going well, everybody likes you, you're getting all the good grades and all that. But what about when it's bad? Things, you know, there's resistance, there's frustration. There's still something to learn in the middle of that. And there's even something to learn in the ugly situations of life. I don't know how you would define what ugly is, but I would define it that it's a season in life when you don't know what to do. You love God, but he just seems so distant. I don't see how anything could ever come of this. This is just an ugly situation. But we can learn so many things. We can learn humility. We can learn character, forgiveness, commitment, kindness. But if we skip that class, we skip the lessons that God wants to teach us in the middle of that. So we've got to manage that, not try to manipulate it. Steward well as you go through those seasons in life. Here's number two. When you're going through a season of change, don't make permanent decisions based on temporary conditions. Don't make permanent decisions based on a temporary condition that's going on. I know what it's like to get mad or angry. Have you ever been there? Y'all better raise your hand. We've all been there. We've all been angry before. Isn't it true that when you're angry, mad, upset, frustrated, something like that, you want to make these lifelong decisions? I just want to get it done. I want to get it over with. And sometimes we have to slow down. And when something's going on, don't make permanent decisions right in the midst of it. But wait, there was a newspaper columnist, and he was a minister as well, a counselor. His name's George Crane. He tells of a wife who came in to get some help, and she was just full of hatred toward her husband. I mean, she just was so mad at him for something that she was done. She was tapping out. I want to be done. And not only does she want to be done with the relationship, but she said, I want to hurt him as bad as he hurt me. And this counselor recognized this great anger that was there and didn't want her to make a permanent decision based on this temporary condition. So he came up with a suggestion. And he said, here's what I think you should do. He said, go home and act as if you really like your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be kind to him, to be considerate. Be as generous as possible. Spare no effort in pleasing him. And just make sure to enjoy his life till he gets to the point where he realizes he can't live without you. And he said, and then drop the bomb and tell him you're going to leave him. That'll hurt him. And she went, excellent. This sounds like a great plan. I think I can do this. And she was, you know, almost in a scary way, too excited about doing this. But she went home, and she did it with enthusiasm, acting as if, you know, she's going along with this program. For 2 months, she showed love and kindness. She listened. She gave. She reinforced her husband. She shared with him. And when she didn't return, the counselor called and said, hey, it's been 2 months. Are you ready to go through with that divorce now? And she said, divorce? Why would I want to do that? I found out I really loved this guy. You see, her actions had changed her feelings. Motion resulted in emotion. And sometimes when emotions get high, we try to make these big decisions. But God says, when you're going through a season, don't make a lot of permanent decisions based on what you're going through right now. Let the Lord speak to you and lead you through those seasons. Because if you don't, and you make decisions based on your feelings, remember this, feelings change, don't they? And then we may regret the choices we made. You all know my bent on feelings. I love feelings. I mean, that they're a gift from God. But remember that guy that wrote that song? Feelings, nothing more than feelings. I'm like, oh, come on. It's not all about feelings. Feelings are good. But we don't live by feelings. We live by what? Faith. We live by faith. And that's how we're supposed to be able to function and operate in the presence of God. Don't let yourself get shoved into a corner to where you feel like you got to make all these decisions, but start fixing your eyes on Jesus. Don't look down. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Galatians 6:9 says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. For at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Two things I want you to underline in there in your notes, and that's this. The phrase that says, for at the right time. Underline that. Highlight it, whatever you want to do, because that's important. He says, everything has a season, and at the right time, it says that God will show up. When? Underline that last part. If we don't give up. If we don't give up. If we don't give up, then God will show up at the right time. The Bible always reminds us that there's a harvest of blessings for us if we just promise not to give up. Sometimes I wonder how many of us maybe have missed out on some blessings that God has had in store for us, but we gave up too soon. We've been right on the verge of receiving a blessing, and we gave it all up. So what do we do? Well, number three, write this down. You focus on your faith, not your frustrations. Focus on your faith, not your frustrations. Now, just think about that for a minute with me. That sounds easy to do, doesn't it, when it's being preached from a pulpit? It even sounds pretty decent when you're writing it down in your own little notes. But where it really becomes challenging is when you're at home facing that frustration, whatever that frustration is. You have to learn to focus on faith. You have to learn to look for the good in situations. We went we had the opportunity, my son and my daughter and my son-in-law, came home for a surprise visit last week, okay? So Valentine's Day, we decided we're just going to stay home, put a candle on the table, we'll figure out what to eat, and there's Valentine's Day. And they surprised us, and they came home, so now it's going to be the four of us, and we had this plan. And I was excited about that, but we had some projects to do. So we had to get, I had to borrow a truck, and then I got a trailer, and we were going to take a table over to Amboy, drop it off, pick up another one, bring it home. So just think with me, that's going to take some work, and that's going to take some time. Let's hurry up and get this done so I can get home and enjoy my family, right? But when we got over there, we found out the table wouldn't fit in the door. So we had to take the door apart and off all the hinges, and it's cold outside, and the snow was about yay high, and it was so frozen that when you stood on it, you wouldn't fall through, unless you were holding a table. We picked that thing up, and crunch, crunch, and then we had to take the door off. We get the other table out. We put it in the trailer, and I'm thinking, let's just get it in there. I don't care. Throw it in there. Shut the door. I want to go home. And so we pull back in through town. We stop to get some gas because, you know, that's, you know, you need gas to make the car run. I filled the tank up, and I went to put it in drive, and the truck died right there in Casey's parking lot. And I thought, no, 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 no. This isn't part of my plan. This isn't part of my plan. And I started to get frustrated. That thing would not turn over 10, 15 minutes. And I have my son-in-law with me, sitting next to me. So obviously, I don't want him to know what I'm really thinking, because on the inside, I'm getting mad at everybody and everything around me. I was getting mad. You got to take this stupid table and this trailer. Of course, it has to snow. I mean, why can't it be summer already? I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm just mad about everything. I'm starting to get more ticked off as time goes on, but I don't want to let my son-in-law know that. So, you know, it's all in my head. I look at him, hey, you know, do one of those. But how many of you know that when you're frustrated and you're focusing on your frustration, it's like a Pepsi bottle being shaken. It isn't going to be long before it comes out, right? And after a while, you know, I'm just like, oh, come on, I just want to go home. And he was very gracious and kind. He wanted to go home too, I'm sure. But I was just getting frustrated and I was mad. And it was right about then. I got the truck started. I got two houses away from Casey's and it died again. Man, that level, frustration's just going up. So I called the girls and I said, why don't you come pick us up? It's going to take an hour to get here. And all right, if you start now, we can still have a little bit of the evening to enjoy. And they came, they were on their way. But I just hung up my phone, and it's almost like the Holy Spirit showed up and wedged himself in between me and Ben. Ben's over there. And you know what I'm talking about, when the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you. And I had an attitude problem, and I knew it, and I was fine with it. I'm just being transparent here. I was fully embracing it. And he said, Jim, he goes, you're a little more upset than you need to be. I'm like, you think? I was getting a little sassy with God, you know, because it was all in my head. It's all in my heart. You know, nobody else was seeing this. But he said, Jim, you got so much to be thankful for. And I said, yeah, I know. You ever do that with growing up? Yeah, I know. And he said, you need to change your attitude. I was like, I don't want to. Why don't you change yours? You know, kind of how you have those discussions with God. And I wasn't focusing on what I had. I was focusing on what I did not have. I was focusing on what was missing instead of what was present. And so I started thinking about it. I didn't want to. I'm just being honest. But I'm like, well, you know, and my son-in-law is trying to be encouraging. And I was like, well, at least it didn't happen on the highway. And I thought, yeah, that's a good point. At least it happened in Amboy. At least it happened in town. At least it happened at a gas station, right? And it happened in a town where I have a couple cousins that live, so I called them. They came and they helped, and they pitched in. And I was able to have some hang time with my son-in-law, right? You know, two guys in a truck for an hour doing nothing at night, you know. We're going to get a little weird and crazy and have some fun. So we started laughing once again, and all of a sudden my attitude started to shift when I realized, at least I got, you know, my son-in-law's here, man, and I get to hang out with him for an hour. The girls are on their way. We're going to, all of a sudden things started to shift. My attitude started to change, all because I started to focus not on the frustration, but I recalibrated that back to my faith. What do you mean faith? I started looking for what I had, not what I didn't have. I started being thankful. Well, I'm thankful there's a warm building I can go in because it was cold out. And it started to change. Have you ever lost anything of importance in your life and then you get frustrated about it because you couldn't find it? Sometimes I feel like that happens in our faith as well, in our connection with God. Did you know that it says in the Bible that one of the ways that we develop our faith is through suffering? One of the ways you develop your faith is through suffering. Someone asked C.S. Lewis this question. They said, why do the righteous suffer? His answer was this: why not? They're the only ones that can take it. In other words, as a Christian, God's grace is available to you and sufficient so that no matter what you go through, you have someone that you can tap into so you can get through that season. But if you're not a Christian, you don't have that grace. It's not available to you. That only comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's in those toughest moments that we probably learn the most. When we are at the top of the world, everything comes too easily. But when we're challenged, we don't understand. We're confused. When we don't look down and we fix our eyes on Jesus, our faith becomes strengthened. Just remember that what we are most frustrated about right now, there might just be a breakthrough around the corner that God has for us. But it's during these times of frustration that we need to ask ourselves, do we really trust God? You've got to ask yourself that question. And you got to be able to answer. You may say, Pastor, you don't know my family. My family tree's got a bunch of weird animals in it. Okay? So does mine. So does everybody's. Do you trust God that he's going to see you through? Well, you don't understand what's going on with my son or my daughter or my mom or my dad, or you don't know what's going on. And you're right, I don't. I don't understand that. But I do know what God's word says. And it says that his grace is sufficient in all things, no matter what it is that you're going through. The question remains, do you really trust God in the season that you're in now? Do you trust him more than you do anybody else or anything else? Ecclesiastes 3:14 said, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. Now, he's not talking about necessarily a fear of being afraid of God, but one of respect, one of awe. And Solomon brings a conclusion. He says, I've had it all. I've done it all. I've seen it all. And in Ecclesiastes 12:13, he says, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God, keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. He says, fear God, keep his commandments, because it applies to every person. He says, fear him in a way of awe and respect. I've had a number of jobs throughout my lifetime. Two of them I'll tell you about today was I worked at RJS Electronics. We put in like security systems, fire alarms, PA systems, things like that. And I worked at the Radisson Hotel in Dallas, Texas. The reason I'm sharing those two is because at one, I learned a lesson. And that was this. I was working on a PA system. I was up on a 6-foot ladder. I was teetering the very top, which you're not supposed to do. I knew it, but hey, I thought I was Superman, right? And I had these little wires, and they were for the PA system. They carried low voltage. Low voltage means this. It's still going to bite you, and you're going to feel it, but not as bad as the other stuff. So I grabbed those. Now, everybody had been told, stay off the PA system while we're working on this, but somebody didn't get the memo. And so when I'm standing up there and I had two wires in my hand, they started talking, and it lit me up. And it lit me up enough that I couldn't let go. So I'm like, I'm making all these faces. Nobody can see me because I'm up in a ceiling. If they could see anything, it was my knees shaking around. Maybe they thought I was dancing. I don't know. But I was being, shocked slowly. And of course, this person had a really long message to say on the PA system. And when they let go, whew, I let go of that thing. And I got down, and my hands were sore. My arms were sore up to here. It bit me good, and I'm like, that's low voltage? Holy cow. And I learned a lesson. Make sure the power's off. Go to the source. There were so many things that I learned there, but it was helpful because I remember when I worked at the Radisson. I just bought a new meter. A meter tests the volts, the amps, all that stuff, and it was brand new. And, you guys have heard, I'm not a fixer-upper guy, okay? I'm not a mechanic. I don't build things. I pay people to do that, fix cars and all that, because I'm not that gifted, but I know how to do little stuff around the house. And so because of some previous jobs, I'm familiar with the meter. I bought a brand new one, and my boss is going to teach me about some more high voltage stuff. And he thought he had the setting of the meter set properly, but he didn't. Let's just say that. And he went to test some 220 volts. And when he did, he put the leads down there. But unbeknownst to him, he got busy talking. His thumbs were touching the metal. And when he went down, bam, there went my meter. It melted. The tips blew off. He jumped back and stood up. And all I could think was, man, I'm glad that happened to him and not me. And that's not very, Christian-like, but that's what I was thinking. But I remembered something. I remembered getting bit back here. And because I remembered that and I learned a lesson, I don't want to get bit by this stuff. There's always lessons that you learn, even in painful situations. And what I learned was this, to have a respect for electricity, right? Electricity's good. We like electricity. We love the lights that are on. We love the heaters that are running. We love the AC in the summertime. And that all comes because there's a source. But you better have respect for it or it will bite you. That's the fear he's talking about. He said, at the end of it all, the conclusion is this. Keep his commandments and have that kind of an awe and a respect for God. Most of us, when we come to the end of our day or end of our week, we just want to chill out, relax, shut our brains off, do nothing. But God says, even in those moments, would you allow me to just, would you just be in my presence? Would you just have a respect for me and an understanding of my great love for you? Romans 8:28 says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, his purpose for them. So the underlying question is this, do we love God? Do we love him? Do we trust him? And if we do, then we can allow him to make changes in our lives to help us grow in our faith for him. Which brings me to the last point, and that's simply this. Number four, be grateful rather than grumble. Be grateful rather than grumble. I am sure, without a doubt, that we can find something to grumble about. If I were to ask you right now, give me one thing that's going on in your life that you could kind of complain about, it'd take you maybe 5 seconds and boom, you'd think of something. But if I asked you, what's one thing you're grateful for? Usually it takes longer, doesn't it? You gotta look for that. Ecclesiastes says, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. Also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor because it is the gift of God. God wants us to be happy. He wants to move us from points of frustration to places where we're grateful so that we can experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. I put in your outlines there, Colossians, it says that the peace of God is to rule in our hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And it says, and be thankful, he says. Learn to be thankful. Thankfulness isn't something that comes as standard equipment in our lives and within our minds. It's something we have to practice. We have to learn to be thankful. And when you do that, all of a sudden the grumblings, they'll start to cease because you'll be training yourself to look for what's good, not always what's bad. Does that mean you'll never have problems in your life? No, we'll have them. Will we still experience sorrow and loss? Yeah, you'll still experience those. But it's in those seasons where his grace becomes sufficient because you're leaning into him. Let me close with this, and we'll be done. I don't know everyone's situation. I don't know what you're going through. But maybe you're here today and you're distracted in your relationship with God. You know, I can't focus. I want to love him, but I'm just not there the way I know I should be. Maybe you feel abandoned. Somebody's left you. There's a void. There's a loss. Maybe you feel hopeless. Job situation. Whatever that is. Can I encourage you today, not only is God's grace sufficient, but if you will fix your eyes on Jesus and don't look down, God will enable you to be an overcomer in whatever area, whatever you're going through. One man had a donkey one day that fell in a well. Went down the well, and it was a very deep well. He looked down there and he couldn't figure out how he was going to get that donkey out. He called his neighbor. The neighbor came over. They looked at that, surveyed it, and thought, I don't know what we can do. We don't have a winch or a hoist big enough to be able to get this thing out of the well. It's going to take so much work. It's going to take so much time. I think it's probably good if we just cut our losses. I think we should just take, dirt and throw it down there. Just bury the animal. Though he's alive, it's a total loss. And so after they both decided to do this, they took the dirt, and they started to throw the dirt down the well. And at first that donkey started squealing and hollering. You would too if you were in the well. But here's what the donkey did. As they started to throw dirt, the dirt would hit the back of the donkey would shake that dirt off his back, step on it. They'd throw more dirt on him, and it hit him in the back, and he'd shake that dirt off, he'd step on it. And after a while, what happened is they thought they were burying the donkey, where in reality, because of the choice the donkey made, whenever dirt was thrown on him, he learned to shake it off and step on it. Shake it off and step on it. And eventually, as he did that, it continued to rise until eventually the donkey could just walk right out of the well. What's my point? The next time you fall into a situation where it seems impossible to get out of, and people seem to be throwing dirt on you, depression seems to be taunting you, finances keep mocking you, your crisis looks so big that you just can't see any way around it, you don't see any way you can get over it, what do? You keep putting it under your feet where it belongs. You keep looking up. You fix your eyes on Jesus. You don't look down, and you will eventually get out of the hole that you are in. Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace will crush Satan. Guess where? Under your feet. And then it says, shortly. I love that. It didn't say he's going to crush him under your feet eventually. He said, shortly. When you learn to be a person who leans into and lives by grace, learns how to shake the dirt off, put it under his feet. In other words, don't look down. Fix your eyes on God. And when we can come to that place of that realization of how good God is and how much he loves us, there is nothing that can stop us because his grace is sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you pray with me as we just ask, Father, in this short amount of time, I pray that you will have spoken to the hearts of people, that no matter what they're going through, what they're facing, we may not fully understand, but you do. You know exactly what each and every one of us are going through right now, and you know exactly what to do about it. But sometimes we become so frustrated because we don't. Sometimes we may even feel like you're holding out on us, but today we're just simply coming to you and saying, Jesus, forgive us in times that we haven't trusted you. Forgive us for those moments where we've tried to work around you instead of just relying on you. And Father, we're choosing today to completely surrender to your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for those that are here today, that depression just feels so heavy in their life, that Lord God, when the world throws the dirt on them, that you will teach us to shake it off, put it under our feet, and start fixing our eyes on you. Lord, for those of us that are experiencing loss, that though the loss is real, you are much greater than that. And so, Father, I pray that you teach us what that means, to not just shake it off and forget it, but to learn to put it under our feet and be able to rise out of dark places that we've been in. Father, I pray for those that are struggling financially, that are struggling, Lord God, in their walk with you, that, Lord God, you would recalibrate and correct our hearts back to the fresh new beginnings. And the only way that that can be accomplished is by looking to you. So, Lord, help us. Forgive us when we've looked down, when all we saw was the destruction around us, or when all we saw was the rickety bridge we had to cross. We forgot that you're right there with us. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal himself in such a precious way so that we can lean into you and trust you, that you can heal our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. My prayer for you is simply, wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, God's grace is sufficient, but it takes on a whole new meaning because he wants to heal your heart. I love you, church family. I'm going to ask, will you go ahead and stand with me as we get ready to go? This week, just take that time and remind yourself of how good God is in the midst of things that look so bad sometimes. Because God is good. Amen.